Because if God is a DJ and life is a dance floor, love is the music and you are the rhythm. No, you're not. We are. Welcome, boys and girls, to a rhythmic edition of Political QRM. Buckle up.
Hello, we are here. We've missed a few weeks. Sorry about that. But
well, part of it's my fault.
Well, yeah, you fell asleep, but that's okay. But I was
in... Wasn't it exciting? I fell asleep. No. Let me bail us out of that. No, everybody who... A lot of people who know that I have a sleep cycle that doesn't exist. I sleep... You know, I stay awake for 48 hours and then... I sleep for 18, you know, and I fell asleep like 10 minutes before the phone rang, and Debbie had to make excuses for me. He's asleep, you know, and she won't wake me up. Well, she will now, you know.
She said he fell asleep. I was like, okay, no problem.
I was like, you know, there I was, just like I am now, no pants on. And, you know, I just fell asleep.
You know, I really hope your mother doesn't listen to this.
Oh, she'd be proud of me. Are you kidding me?
Because you would know if she was listening, because all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, you would feel somebody or something hit you in the back of your head.
With a wooden spoon.
Yeah, that's it. Cannot forget the wooden spoon.
Why? What? Because I sit here and podcast without pants on? You got to understand something. When I was just a little tyke running around the house, I never had pants on. She had to staple them to my ass to keep them on.
Welcome to Pantless Podcasting.
Pantless Podcasting. That's what we should make a company. Pantless Podcasting LLC.
And no, I will not be taking part in that. No.
That's up to you. You know, I mean, you know, we're all adults here. I'm not bashful. You know.
Okay. By the way, did I ever tell you I have a really good imagination?
I'm hoping so. I gotta have a good imagination.
Now I am grossing myself out. Thank you very much.
I have a good imagination because your camera ain't working. So, you know, I gotta imagine. Picture in your mind.
Yeah, I know. Don't
imagine.
Go there.
Imagine a world where the camera's going.
God, heaven.
There's your signpost up ahead. Political QRM. You know. I'm going to use that for an intro sometime.
Yes, I agree. Okay. Okay, so anyway.
Back to the pants. I mean, the...
No! Okay.
You know, I remember years and years and years ago, there was a George Carlin routine, Oliver Sullivan, George Carlin, and he did this thing where... Because he went to Catholic school, like I did.
And, oh, God. Yeah. That was the beginning of his undoing. It really was. Okay.
Yes, it was. It just went south from there.
South from there.
You know, but he said, you know, if you could make, you know, the girl sick, you know, as class clown, you were doing good. You know, if you get Margaret Mary to throw up on her desk first thing in the morning, you knew it was going to be a good day. You know, and I find that to be the same thing when it comes to making Amory laugh or making Debbie laugh. Or something.
Thank you. Good. Okay. Okay. All right. Now you did not want me to bring this up.
I combed my hair, even though it's all screwy, because Debbie just washed it this afternoon, and you don't have your camera on.
Where's the camera?
How am I supposed to talk?
Oh, it's over there. I'm sorry.
If you want to, I can see you, but she can't see her because she's on another computer, and we got to take the phone call on my computer.
No, don't worry about it. As long as she can see me, you
does
know that'll
nice?
That'll keep her. If she can see me, that'll keep her stomach off kilter.
Yes, he looks very nice.
Okay, thank you.
You know.
Is he wearing a guinea tee?
Yes.
Oh fuck. God's sake, Lily.
No, look, we're not, look, if you're not on camera, we're not putting this out as video, so what the hell do I care?
That's true. Okay.
If we're putting this out of video, look, I got a shirt right here. I got a shirt right here.
He
does. Yeah. I would have put it's the one I wore yesterday. I only had it on for 10 minutes and it took me to make the video and I took it off.
Okay, good. All right.
Good.
All right.
Go ahead. So even though I didn't want to talk about this.
Yes.
Because it's been the entire universe has changed rotation to accommodate this for the last 36 hours.
But you know, let me just say, and I don't know why, it's one of those unexplainable things, but I always found him very sexy. I did. His movements, the way he performed, the way he spoke. I don't know why. And don't
Dearly
everybody...
Beloved.
What?
Dearly beloved.
Yeah, I loved him. I just did, you know.
In case nobody understands what's going on here, because it is the 22nd of April, 2016, looks like 1913 in the evening. In case you just crawled out from under your rock, the artist formerly known as Prince passed away yesterday. And evidently there's no sign of trauma, and they're ruled out. They ruled out the likelihood of suicide. So shall we move on? He had five songs that everybody knows, and nobody can name a sixth except Amory.
Okay.
Look, I'm not saying, you know, anything bad. The guy had, look, he had $1 zillion, and he earned every last dime of it. God bless him. God bless, I hope he went straight to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see why the world changed direction because he died. I mean, we got these people dying all the time.
No, I know. But you know what?
The other day, and China from Worldwide Entertainment Wrestling died the other day.
I know that. Isn't that strange? My God,
they're dropping like flies.
What is going on?
2016. Remember, we said this in 2015. Hey, look, 2016. Leave them alone. Here, take the Kardashians.
Yes, exactly. Or Kanye West, at least.
I'll tell you what. Leave us one prince, I'll raise you three Kardashians.
Exactly. No, seriously, I mean, the man, he was a true artist. He loved every single part of performing and writing and, you know, playing all the instruments that he could play.
Yes,
he came... Huh?
Yeah, but we lost Glenn Frey last year.
I know, I'm just saying, all of them, I was upset. I was upset when Glenn Frey passed. I was. I mean, all these talented people are leaving, are dying, and we're left with the Kardashians and Kanye West and, Justin Bieber and, you know, all these.
Well, he's Canadian. It doesn't count.
Beyonce and, you know. I mean, come on, folks. You know, I honestly think it's the beginning of the rapture. Something, I don't know.
You know, I was thinking the same thing with the fact that the Pac Rim had, 12 earthquakes in the last 5 days or 6 days?
Yeah, yeah. It's been pretty bad. Ecuador, my gosh. They got another, strong earthquakes again, you know, and over 300 people are dead there. It's horrible. I mean, Japan.
Japan and Ecuador, and then there was one further down in it's not the Falkland Islands, where is it? The down by the edge, down by the corner, it was at the end of Del Fuego.
Really?
Then there was another one off of Indonesia somewhere, Sumatra or something. It's like there's all these earthquakes. And I was like, okay, so we got the earthquakes, we got the volcanoes, we got people dropping dead like flies, even though they keep leaving us the wrong people.
I know, exactly.
This may sound harsh
to some people, but... I don't think so, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's wars and scores and rumors of wars in the East. You know, I mean, it's...
Things are not going well throughout the world. I mean, it is... I mean, you have... first thing, I mean, you know, Russia is buzzing our ships in the Baltic Sea. You have...
I saw a great graphic. It showed a MiG or whatever they're called these days. They used to be called MiGs. I don't know if
it's
still on.
Well, no, actually, one was an Su-24, and the other one was, I forget, but...
They showed it, and in combat markings, the bottom of the aircraft had a middle finger.
Yeah, that's basically it, because that's exactly what they're doing.
30 feet off the deck. I mean, come on, Tom Cruise got in trouble for that back in the 80s, back when Kelly McGillis was still pretty...
Did you hear what one of the admirals said? He said, oh, well, no, we're not really upset about this. You know, I'm like, what? You know, if it was Reagan, oh, forget it. All up, we would have chased that. You know, we would have launched aircraft. We would have done so much throughout the world just based on that.
And you don't think we do that to them?
No, we do. But you know what, Barry? It's okay. It's not in our...
Not
it's,
at 30 feet.
Wait a minute.
30 yards,
no,
maybe.
Wait a minute. No, excuse me. Pardon me. It's not like it was, dear. And you know that, and I know that.
You just don't hear about it.
Yeah, I know. No. I mean, come on. When I was at the agency, they used to send us pictures up in the Alaska Air Command of you know, them waving and, you know, so it's just like, that's fine.
I can't even get
but
into
this
it.
This is not good.
I can't
what?
Even get into it. I used to go into, you know, everybody knows www. What people don't realize is that's not the only way to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two or three different ways to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. I'm locked out. I don't know about you, girlfriend, but I'm locked out.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. Well, it's my own fault.
Well.
They kept calling, and I told them, knock it off. I'm crippled. I'm an old man. I'm crippled. I'm 64 years old. For Christ's sake, I'm crippled. Leave me alone. And they did, and they turned off all my codes. So much for that.
So let's start going over some of the things that are going on in the world, and I'm not really too pleased with. We have Obama, who's over in England, having lunch with the Queen and dinner with
Julie Roginski. There was a picture. They went through a door to a door through a door. And William answered the door. I guess they were supposed to be somewhere or something, and I don't know if it was impromptu or what have you, but they actually entered the residential zone of Kensington.
No, really?
And Prince George came up to shake the POTUS hand, and he was in a dressing gown. You know, he had his pants on and stuff, but he had a robe on. You know, I mean, you know, that little robe on Prince George is probably $4 million, but the idea is it was very fluffy, don't get me wrong. You know, and he went and he shook the hand of the president, and Cameron was there, and, you know, William was there. His Highness William was there. And Julie Roginski, who's the, you know, of course, instantaneously the White House press corps leaks the photograph. And, oh, do we have to teach them that it's not good to go out in public in a dressing gown or in a robe, is what she said. And I sent her back one saying, whoa, easy killer, easy. First of all, he wasn't in public. He was at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how this happened, that they ended up in the residential corner. I mean, I know how Kensington was laid out. I don't know how they ended up even on that end of the building.
I don't know.
But, you know, somehow or another, and the fact that the kid actually had the common human decency to shake the hand of Obama, you know, which I wouldn't, but, you know, he did. So, you know something? I wouldn't care if he was wearing a dressing gown or if he was dressed like me right now. You know, my thing is, you know, what? And a guinea tea and no pants. But the... No, look, the point is, he's already been to Saudi Arabia and bowed to the freaking king again.
Yep.
You know, and he's already been, you know, he did Cuba, he did, you know, Argentina, yep. He did Saudi Arabia.
Now, let's back up a bit. Now, Cuba, he went to Cuba, you know.
He got snubbed.
He got snubbed at the airport. And then, when he came back, you had them saying that Obama's visit was an attack on Cuba, all right? And
they called him a Negro.
That they hate, yeah, I know, they hate the U.S. even more. And I'm sure that Obama brought them a big check when he went down there, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes, so they got what they wanted.
Especially since the next morning they turned 9 more of them loose to go back to Saudi Arabia, you know, and get back on the front line of terrorism.
Yep.
Turn 9 more loose out of Gitmo.
Now, you know, they went back to Saudi Arabia? Or I thought that was Yemen. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, 6 blocks north and make a left.
Yeah, I know, same thing. Yeah, I know. And then he goes to Saudi Arabia right on the heels of them saying that, you know, you better not sign that 9/11 bill, or, you know, we're going to start doing this and this and this. And, you know, as far as the economy is concerned.
I said that to you the other day. I said, bring it.
Yeah, and I agree.
Bring it.
But you have to look at what Saudi Arabia, excuse me, did.
Wait.
They took out to the World Bank. They asked $10 billion to offset the falling oil revenues. So
well,
let's
yeah.
take a look at this. So they're hurting. So they are in absolutely
oh,
no
they're
position.
Not hurting. No.
They're
they got a long way.
Yes,
to go down
but they're
the
not
ladder.
Doing well. Yeah. They're not doing well.
They lost the moment
bring
of
it.
Solvency. You know, I mean,
yeah, I know,
not,
but no, they're not doing well actually, and well, with pressure also internal pressure, problems with ISIS and stuff like that. So
sure,
they're in big trouble.
As far as I'm, and then here
we've been propping them up
with,
too many years.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yes, we have, and I've always had a problem with that. But
yes.
You know, here's the thing: they were talking about the 9/11 papers, parts of the 9/11 report, and somebody there was a I don't remember it was Fox News, I don't remember it was my local TV station, I don't remember where it was, but they had a thing saying, should we release it? Should these papers all be released to the public? And I said, no. There are certain, you know, if there's 26 of them that can be released and stuff, to absolutely bring them out. But sometimes there are secrets that need to be kept. And I'm not saying just because it'll make the Saudis look bad. I'm saying that there's such a thing as too much information. There's stuff that, you know, they're really, you know, you right, get right down to it. There really are such things as national security issues.
No, yes, no. I realize that. But if those things can be redacted,
yeah, well, redacted,
to keep
yeah,
the
I'll take
salient
it, but,
points in there, you know.
But the thing is, it's like the whole thing with the Hillary papers, the Hillary emails. You know, I mean, when it comes right down to the point that they released another however many pages it was, and please, I don't remember, but however many pages it was, and out of that, something like a quarter of them, most of the people on the select committee don't have the clearance to read them?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wait a minute, they're so classified that these congressmen and senators and, you know, aides and all this other don't have the clearance to read these emails, and there was a question as to whether or not it would be all right to send them down the line to a different server or to, you know, lose command and control of the document. Same thing with the Saudi papers. You know, it's the same thing with all this stuff. You know, there are such things as state secrets. And okay, Hillary may have callous disregard for that.
Well,
but
so does Obama. Let's face it. Right now, we have an administration that is trying very hard to bring us down. And one of the things is he does not want those 28 pages on Saudi Arabia and 9/11 released. There's something in there. And I want to see what's in it. I think in this case, I don't know. I think in this case that perhaps it should be released.
You know, the Saudi Arabians have been a non-friend of ours. You know, let's stop short of enemy, but let's not call them friends. So
they're
where
frenemies.
Does that put frenemies. Yeah. Oh yeah. A Tumblr word. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Frenemy. Yeah, that's a good one. Because you know there's been stuff going on in Saudi Arabia, whether it's in the desert or you get 15 feet out of Riyadh and you're in the middle of nowhere. So mm-hmm. you know when it comes right down to it, they've never been a true friend of ours.
No.
And we're still giving them money, not just for oil, but we're still giving them money as foreign aid.
Yes, and they're allowed to purchase our military equipment,
yes.
which is, I've always been against that.
At cost plus or whatever the deal is.
Yeah.
And, you know, that and the fact that they still don't allow women to drive and they
That's
still
right.
execute gay people and they still, you know, all these things that, you know, that our social justice warriors get all on their high horse about. But yet over there in Saudi Arabia, it happens and. And it's not just that it happens and it's state sanctioned.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, and so they haven't really been a friend, but, you know, so a frenemy, yeah, they haven't really been an enemy, but they haven't been a friend. They allow us to fly over and, you know, park an aircraft there once in a while. Other than that, you know, why are we giving them millions and millions of dollars in foreign aid? You know, wait, you know, okay, they've had some issues with the falling oil price. Okay, fine. So it's a falling oil price issue. So they had to go to the World Bank. But wait. It's not like they're poor.
No, but you know what? Poor. Yeah, but you know what? They don't have the corner on the oil market anymore. Since we've been fracking, we've been getting not only natural gas out, that it's been kind of, you know, digging into their.
Well, you know, we've got natural gas that, and this is the thing. People go on and on and on about fracking, but, you know, we've got natural gas reserves. We don't need to frack. And we've got,
well,
you know.
We can get oil out of it, too. I mean, we've got a lot of oil, you know that.
We've got oil, we've got gas, we've got shale oil, you know, oil shale. I mean, we've got so much oil and so much gas between us and Alaska, some, you know, and off the coast.
Canada, for God's sake.
Canada, you know, which is, you know, look, the worst that could happen. I mean, look at that clown running that place. All we got to do is turn to him and say, we're taking this.
Trudeau?
Yeah.
Oh, God, what a jerk.
And I said, wait, you can't do that. And we'll say, yeah, we can. And he goes, oh, okay.
No, you know what it'll do?
The guys, there's a P word that describes him. It has to do with kittens. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
I know.
You know, the demand's completely. I have a friend of mine moved up there back in the 80s and took a job up there. And I went through school with him from like second grade, you know. And I turned to him one day and he loves Canada. Oh, and he's a lib. Don't get me wrong, he's a lib.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really happy up there, you know, because he's a lib. Mm-hmm. But I turned to him, I said, John, I said, how do you explain this guy? He said, he's the low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
In other words, when it came time to put somebody in there, you know, between his father's name.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know, and his grandfather's name. And you know, the fact that they had to do something because of the you know, trying to ameliorate the differences between Quebec and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he walked in the door. He was the low-hanging fruit. They picked it and put him in the chair.
Jeez Louise.
And I'm like, that's it? That's how you decide on your national leader? And he said, well, there's not really much that can change here.
Really?
Especially in one administration. There's not much that can change there. I said, well, okay. You know,
really?
That's what he felt about it.
Has he been reading the reports on what the Muslims are doing in Canada now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah, but that's our fault. And that's our fault and the Canadian government's fault and the British government's fault and Merkel's fault. And
why is it? Why is it?
Oh, because we don't understand them. We don't reach out to them. You know, we don't offer them more.
I mean, we don't reach out to them. They're just letting them invade Europe. They're giving them free food, free clothing, housing, a stipend. Come on. They've reached out. Oh, wait a minute. They haven't handed them the keys and said, okay, we're all Muslim now? Is that's what it is?
I guess. I don't know exactly where you want to make the demarcation, but you know, I told you this guy's a lib.
Yeah.
You know,
jeez. I'm just so fed up.
You know, look, we're doing everything we can over here, bending over backwards and forwards and backwards again. I mean, you know, we talked earlier about this whole issue with the Citadel.
No, we never talked about it on the podcast.
No, but we were talking about show prep, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that it goes deeper, the way.
Can somebody ask me why this woman is in the Citadel? Really? Why is she at the Citadel?
Well, here's my thing. If you want to come here and you want to act the fool, that's one thing. You know, and if you want to come here and you want to, you know, not act the fool, but you want to claim a certain amount of accommodation, you know, human rights and stuff like that, okay, I'm all right with that. But when you get to the point where you're starting to approach a rarefied atmosphere, such as the Citadel, or whether it's, you know, West Point's the Citadel, whether it's the Army, whether it's the, mm-hmm. you know, Navy, whatever it is, you know, you want to start getting into the point where you're no longer just talking about hanging on the corner, you know, kind of a thing. Sooner or later, you got to turn around and say, okay, they've accommodated me to the point where I actually gained admission.
Right.
Now I need to accommodate them and say, I will wear your uniform.
The way it's supposed to be worn.
The way it's supposed to be worn, as opposed
to hijabs.
Well, there's also a Sikh that got the right to wear a beard and a turban in the Army the other day.
Well, that should never happen because it's supposed to be teamwork and you're all supposed to act as a team and basically kind of look the same. That's what the uniform is for.
Yeah, I would think that that's kind of goes right to the root word of uniform.
Yes, uniformity. Uniformity, yes. The thing is that also we have here a woman who is part of a 7th century culture, okay? And she's inserting herself into modern day military.
If you're willing to put aside enough of the 7th century to join our military academies, mm-hmm. our private schools, then you should be able to put the rest of it away because you're no longer part of that 7th century culture.
That's right.
And if you feel you are a part of that 7th century culture, then go back to that.
Go back to it and leave.
Alone.
That's right. Leave the Citadel, leave whatever.
But this is Generation Cupcake.
No, it's not Generation Cupcake. This is Islam.
No,
this is the way they are going to do it.
No, I'm not talking about her. She's just Islam. But I'm saying the rest of the people around, it's Generation Cupcake. Everybody's a special snowflake.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, and we've got to bend over left, right, front, back, you know, for the special snowflakes. Got it all, you know, can't we all just, you know, go to the Citadel and learn how to march in formation singing, you know, instead of singing, you know, the old cadence songs, we'll all sing Kumbaya. You know, and Michael.
Yeah, what can we do to make you comfortable at the expense of our culture,
you know,
our tradition?
And at all the Catholic universities, we're to take.
Oh,
all
don't even get me started.
And all the all these things. I mean, well, you know what? Because if you don't, you know, I'd be surprised. At the Citadel, they probably have a room that's a safe space too. You know,
didn't used to be that way.
Well, I would hope it wouldn't be that way because the people that come out of the Citadel are supposed to be, you know, people we're going to be counting on in 10, 15, 20 years.
I know.
You know, to make some pretty serious decisions.
I know.
Merkel's got her hands full with that fella over there that made the joke about Erdogan.
Yeah, I know. She says she's kind of regretting it, but, you know.
Yeah.
She's not regretting it. That's because things got too hot for her.
Well, that poor woman, she doesn't – I'll tell you something. She probably doesn't know whether she's got a pee or blinder watch. Because she's getting – you know, she's getting it from all over the world, and then she's getting it from internal strife, you know, on both sides of the aisle. And she's also got, you know, the EU – you know, telling her, you know, oh, you got it, this, you got it, that, and everything. That poor woman is probably pulled in more different directions than James Saltwater Taffy. You know,
you are being sarcastic, I hope, aren't you?
Of course.
Thank you.
You never know me
being
anything else.
Okay.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, they should have dumped her when the first 1,000 of them got there.
Definitely. Definitely. I don't know. I really don't understand the Germans. I thought they were made up of sterner stuff than this. Really. Really. Honest to goodness. I don't understand it.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. Here's just my opinion. I think the problem is if you don't follow the left wing line, you're mm-hmm. branded right wing. And if you're branded right wing, you face all kinds of, you know, serious business over there.
Yeah.
You know,
they automatically say you're a Nazi and.
Yeah. And, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, hey, look, they tell us that only 10 to 12% of the Muslims are dangerous. But yet, you know what? Only 7% of the Germans were Nazis.
That's true.
So, you know, here they are. They're worried about being branded a Nazi when only 7% of them were dangerous. But, you know, 10 to 12% of the Muslims are dangerous. They're bringing their own house down around them. That's it. You know,
I just don't understand why.
Do you remember the pictures? Do you remember the newsreels and the pictures? You know, Frank Capra and Life magazine and stuff. When they walked the German people past the concentration camps, Auschwitz and Buchenwald and all these other places. You know, they walked all these people past there, and it's like they lived, you know, 300 yards away, and they didn't know. Supposedly, they didn't know. You know, and it's the same thing. They're all walking around going, no. You know what? You know, I don't want to get involved in that because if I get involved with that, they're going to make me walk past the concentration camp. I don't want to do that. My grandmother did it, you know. And they're just all turning a blind eye. And the ones that are not are being branded as right-wing, fascist, socialist, Nazi.
Yeah, I know, but that's all left wing. Don't people understand this?
No, they don't. That's it. They don't understand it. I'm telling you the way it's portrayed.
I know.
Here.
No, I know. I know. So to be proud of one's culture, country, traditions is now xenophobic and right wing and hateful.
And racist.
And bigoted. Yes. And bigoted. Da, da, da. And Islamophobic, so on and so forth. So,
I mean, what's next? When the Germans, when they take their daughters and they put they go down to the church and the bishop comes in and gives them all their middle name, do they turn around and just hand each one of them hand an obligatory little girl to a Muslim? Is that what happens now?
That's the way it looks like. Honest to goodness. It's getting to the point where,
when women
get raped and little girls get raped and, they're going to be told in front of a judge, the family, okay, this is their culture. So you have to understand.
Well, not just that. No, it's not just that. It's a question of when these things happen, what they do is they put together, they print signs and put them by the public pool and they print up pamphlets and stuff and they give them to all the populace, not to the 7th century culture, to the populace. You have to understand the way they think. So therefore you can't let your daughters, you got to put, if they want to go in the pool, they've got to put on, a winter clothing,
yes.
You can't, talk to them. You can't make eye contact. And if they come near you, you have to let them do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you get out of the pool and go home. And
well, sexy ads are now, banned in Germany.
Band, anybody that still to this day believes that there's no such thing as a no-go zone is either smoking some really dangerous stuff.
Well, we have our own no-go zones. One of them is called Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah, well, we've got Dearborn, and we've got there's another one, Patterson.
I'm just going to say that Patterson.
There's a bunch
North
of
Bergen.
Them around.
Now Clifton, I think, since they raised the Palestinian.
Well,
flag.
Yeah, well, that's just creep. That's all that is. It's creeping out of Patterson, and it's coming down through. What's the name of the next one?
So let me ask you a question. How do you think this is going to? What route do you think this is all going to take? Do you think we're going to get really fed up?
I think we already are.
I know, but we have to do something.
I think we already look. I.
We get the stupid Pope. Bringing 12 refugees back from the island of Lesbos, whatever the heck it is. And he's, these people are just so wonderful and everything. I was like, excuse me, do you know how many? You had 21 Christians being beheaded when he was bringing those 12 over.
The Pope went back to Rome with 12 lesbians? What?
No. 12 refugees when he was on the island of Lesbos, whatever the heck it's called.
Lesbians, yeah.
But he brought back 12 Syrian refugees.
I saw it.
Pain in my butt.
But the thing is, look, the guy, it's not shame. What are you going to do?
This man, look, Catholic Church, and I'm sorry, folks, Catholic Church does not have a Pope.
Between Frankie does not have and a Benny, pope. Frankie and Benny, it's been... a problem since. But here's the gig. What are we going to do? Are we fed? Yes, we are fed up. And you know what? That shows in our election cycle right now.
Let's hope.
No choice about it. That shows in no uncertain terms. And I saw a thing online the other day. I actually saw a FLIR actuated or FLIR enhanced video of the first B-52 strikes. Which I find very comforting on ISIS targets, because we finally sent B-52s over there, which is something I've been saying for 12 years.
Yeah, but the thing is that we have known where they are established. We know where their cities are, okay? They have taken over cities. They have, stores, currency, governments. Just hit them.
Currency, as far as I'm concerned, they are now...
A state. Yes.
They are now a nation.
Yep.
That's something one can declare war on. We couldn't do it before because they were a faction. Now they are a state. They are a sovereign entity.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, we can declare war on them.
But we have people in our government that won't do it.
You know, I was reading something the other day. This kind of really struck me because I read this person was commenting on something that occurred, you know, with, you know, Muslims in America. And he said, do you people realize, he said, that we have a president who is Muslim-centric? He said his top aide is basically a Muslim from Iran. The CIA director is supposedly a convert to Islam. You have the number two person in the in Homeland Security and is a Muslim. And he said, basically, we have a Muslim administration, but none of us know it.
Yeah, shades of the commies under FDR, right?
You know, it's seriously, it's just like, oh, my God, the man's right. I never really put everything together.
And on top of that, the chief secretary, chief of staff woman under the Democratic front runner is also.
Yes. Yes.
Uma. So I don't know how much people expect to change, you know, once she walks in the door at 1600 Pennsylvania.
Oh, things are going to change for the worse. And somebody said things are going to go off. We're going to go off the cliff. If she's elected.
I think that if and it's something because I'm not entirely sure. I mean, you know, you see these polls going back and forth and forth and back and back and forth again, you know, about who can beat who and who can beat, you know, who can take it from whom and, you know, all these things. And I got news for you. You know, we have made these podcasts now for several years. All right, we took a year or so off, but we've made these podcasts for several years. Mm-hmm. And I have said it 1,000 times if I've said it once. I don't imagine us getting anywhere at the time, anyway, before we started back up. I didn't imagine us getting anywhere near the torches and pitchforks scenario. But at this point in my life, I can't see it happening, but I won't rule out that it could.
So we're basically going to roll over?
No, I can't rule out the fact that the torches and pitchforks may be in our future.
Oh, okay.
I can't rule it out anymore. It used to be I'd say, no, no way. You know, the American people, not that we're placid, not that we're, you know, oblivious. No, just the fact that, you know, we could make our changes. Well, here it is. We've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this to come along so we could make our changes. And this is what was going to prevent the right. torch and pitchfork scenario. And I'm sorry. I don't rule out that it could happen now because, mm-hmm. you know, and I've said it 1,000 times if I said it once before, I will not attack, but I will defend. And, you know, when it comes right down to it, it could. You know what? In November of 2016, it could get ugly.
Yeah, it could. It could.
It could
because I think if Trump does win, if he is a nominee and does win, I think all those nasty little inner city groups are going to riot. That's my prediction.
No, but we can handle that.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about them.
That's, well, so, I don't know.
I go back to Adonisio. You know what? Let them burn the place down. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's their problem.
You know, if they want to burn down every single city in this country, well basically, the only ones that will burn are the ones that have Democrat mayors. Mm-hmm. And the cities are already in the...
And Democrat governors that won't call in the National Guard.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But the Republican governors will turn around and say, wipe up that street for me, please.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll be that. You know, I mean, but I you know, the cities at the hands of, what's his name? You know, at the hands of the new, because I was going to name names from the old Black Panther Party, and they're all either dead or whatever. Yeah. But all the ones that are new Black Panther Party, all the ones that are in Black Lives Matter, all the ones that are in Occupy, this, that next thing, you know, you know what? They're going to go in the cities and they're going to rally and they're going to march. And then, you know, the cops are going to be standing there. And you know what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. Chicago. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Newark.
Yep.
and they're going to go, and they're going to, and they're, well, yeah, but that's the thing. They're going to burn down their neighborhood. They're going to turn over all those cars.
And then they're going to turn around and go, look what we have to live in. We need help.
You'll get help. You'll get help. But you're going to get the help if and when and we're ready to give it to you, and you'll take what you get and like it.
No, you know, hell no. We shouldn't give them help. Say, listen, you know what? You destroyed it, you pick it up.
We're going to go back to Stella Wright. We're going to go back to, I'm trying to remember the name of that place out in Chicago. And, we're going to go back to them. We're going to put up projects.
Oh, jeez.
And you're going to like
Cabrini Green you're talking about?
Cabrini Green.
Oh, man.
There was another famous one, and I'm trying to remember what it was called. And it was a famous one. It was the first one up and the first one down.
Jeez.
You know, back in the 60s. And, yeah. And, you know, and that's it. And we're going to turn around and we're going to say, you know what? Here's the deal. Here's the projects. We're building projects. And you know what? All you sons of bitches laying here on the corner, grab a wheelbarrow, grab a shovel, grab a rake.
Oh, God, no. They won't do that.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Oh, no, they won't. Oh, heavens, no, Lou. Because they have been handed everything, since the 60s.
The American people are not going to tolerate that.
Let's hope that we don't. Because you know what? It takes a lot to really tick us off. But I think people have reached it.
But the thing is, when Johnson signed the war on poverty and the war on crime and all this other stuff, you know, everybody in the country went, yeah, good job. And you know what? Within 10 years, it bit us in the ass. And then now we've lived with it for another 35, 40 years on top of that. And nobody wants to hear it anymore.
And
everybody paid all that tax money to put all those projects up, and they all went down. There's not a single one of them left.
Right.
You know,
okay.
all these things. So now what we're going to do is we're going to turn around and say, okay, here's the deal. We're building this project over here where you burned down all the houses in this row. We're putting up a project.
You're
going to grab a shovel, you're going to grab a rake, and you're going to grab a wheelbarrow. No, I ain't. Yeah, well, that's fine. Then you're going to starve because you're not going to get food stamps. You're not going to get welfare. You're not going to get, EBT. You're not going to get SNAP or any of that stuff. Grab a rake or you're out of luck.
Okay, but it's just not that group. We have about 20 million. Wait a minute. We have about 20 million illegals in this country that are expecting the same thing that these people are getting, okay? We also have Muslims in this country that think that the American way of life, is a threat to them.
Well, follow me.
Go ahead.
Follow me.
I'm following you.
We start with that one group.
Okay.
All right. We start with that one group. Because when that takes place and we've got them all busy with shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, doesn't it make it easier to find the rest of them?
No, we would think so. But
all of a sudden, all these people in a barrio somewhere are standing around. Well, okay. If they're not inside the city of San Francisco, we can question their legality.
Well,
not here legally. And you know something? Anybody who's got a tattoo with MS-13 on them, straight to the border, kick them across there, close the gate behind them.
Yeah, that's the first thing, though. First thing that has to be done is we have to build the wall.
Second, and we get the hell with the wall.
No, wall.
Hell with the wall.
Wall.
You know how much money that costs? $5 million a mile. You know how many landmines
so
I can sell you for $5 million?
Yeah, landmines, baloney. No, because the MS-13 and the other thing, what they'll do is just lob stuff over there to explode. And then that's bad because the ranchers down in that area and people that live in that area, they don't want to hear that. What they want to see is a presence.
When the landmine goes off, the guy in the tower 200 yards away swings a 50 cal in that direction.
Oh, no, you can't do that. These poor innocent people are just coming over because they're hungry.
Uh-huh. Yeah? And they've got a wonderful, wonderful country down there that's been mismanaged. You know what? You want to go cross the barbed wire into somewhere? Cross the barbed wire into your presidential palace.
Well, that's what I always say. Why aren't they turning around to their government and say, help us? No, the government is saying to them, here's a map, to the United States.
Yeah, here's a map and a bottle of water.
There you go. Enjoy. And let them take care of you. So, now the funny thing is that what I had said a few months ago about how to pay for the wall and Mexico, I said to tax all the Western Union,
10%.
Well, actually, Donald Trump kind of improved on that because he said he was going to do like 50%. You know, so that's how we're going to pay for the wall.
I don't think you can get away with it. 10%.
Well, I don't know because I, you know, I'm tired of this. These people
are
taking funds.
No, we all are.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, okay. So we have to. Okay. So you have the rest of the world going, you better not elect Trump. Watch us.
Wait. They're all telling us we better not elect Trump.
Oh yeah.
But yet. Everybody in Cameron and all his cronies are over there upset because we said because Obama stuck his nose in Brexit.
That's right.
You know, and Merkel is all pissed off when we give advice over here and she watches Fox News.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these other people are all pissed off about this.
Yeah, and then she's with Zuckerberg going, you know, how can you, you know.
You know what? Which part of Europe are you from? The part whose ass we saved or the part whose ass we kicked?
Yeah, exactly. No, the thing is that.
You know, if you're the part whose ass we saved, shut up. We saved you once and we're keeping our promise. If you're from the part whose ass we kicked, shut up or we'll do it again.
We'll do it again. But the thing is, the Brexit, I mean, that's hysterical that Obama goes over there and tells him, oh, no, you know. So what happens is that he just really screwed over the EU by that because you have a bunch of British who are saying, don't tell us what to do. I wasn't going to vote that way. But you know what? I am.
Yes, I know. Actually, only one of whom in England actually listens to us. But I know about a dozen people in England, four in Scotland, half a dozen in Ireland, one in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody in Cornwall, but that's okay. In the meantime, every single one of them people, including the Scots.
Okay.
All of whom are behind the Scott National Party.
Oh, well, you know, the Scots are waiting. The Scots
That's
are
right,
waiting
because
to see what
they
happens.
Lost, they lost, but it was not that big a margin.
No, it was not.
So they're waiting. They want Brexit, and they want it in the worst way.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So, you know, the Scots are waiting. So every single person I know is all, you know, I mean, I don't know about their kids, you know, because, you know, what the hell, kids are kids. You know, you never know what the hell they're thinking. But you know, as far as the adults that I know, they're all behind Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as I said, kids, I don't know because, you know, kids in their 20s are kids in their 20s. I mean, hell,
right.
I got a niece that's, you know, absolutely, I'm not ashamed of her. She's doing her job as a 20-year-old, you know, it's her job to be like that, you know, cause like Disraeli said, you gotta be a liberal, you know, I mean, she's doing what she has to do, you know, you know, hopefully in 6 or 8 months when she turns 21, she'll wake up and say, oh gee, that was stupid, you know, but, you know, so she's all Bernie right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it comes right down to it, Brexit. Get out of there. Get out of the EU. Let Merkel turn around and say, oh, shit, now I'm all alone. You know, the French aren't being able to do anything because they've got Muslims crawling up every armpit hair they've got. You know, the Spanish, they don't want to hear about nothing. You know, the Portuguese are failing. The Greeks are dead. Italy's on its way out.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, the Low Countries are like, sorry, like to help, but right now we've got, you know, our own riots and our own no-go zones and our own kids getting attacked and all this other stuff. You know, kids getting beaten with chains in a junior high school and, you know, by Muslims and stuff. We've got too much going on our own. You know, have a nice day. And Merkel's going to be like, oh, I guess it's all me.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have allowed that, you know, 800,000 Muslims into my country. Oh, gee, you know.
I mean, you know, all the other countries down there, Bulgaria, Romania, Yugoslavia, all these places down there, they don't, they've got barbed wire up.
Yes, a lot of them have said no.
And armed guards.
I think Hungary, too.
Hungary, too?
Yes. No, they've had it.
And the Turks aren't any friend to anybody.
Oh, gosh, no. No, no way.
But they've always been that way.
Yeah. In Turkey in the past, you could be Christian. Not anymore. Now it's a danger to be a Christian. I mean, look what they're doing to the Kurds. I mean, they're attacking the Kurds. Turkey
you
is...
And then when you get right down to it, I mean, I saw an interesting video the other day because they turned some... They turned out, I don't remember how many it was, but there was a mess of them.
Mm-hmm.
that got in trouble. I don't remember if it was in Sweden or Denmark or wherever the hell it was, you know, Belgium. I don't know where it was, but there was a mess of them that got in trouble and they had to leave, so they left.
Oh, yes. I forget.
They didn't go back to Syria or Lebanon or Levant or whatever. They didn't go back to any place like that. They went to Russia.
How could they go to Russia?
Well, they just walked.
Oh, that's
or took a train or something. I don't know.
But no, but I'm saying, what were they doing in Russia? I mean, Putin is not exactly what you would call...
Well, he's not on top of it. It's like, he's like, you know what? I don't have to worry about this. And he didn't, because these couple of dozen guys started some stuff in a park where there happened to be a Russian football team practicing.
Okay. I don't know about this. Go ahead.
They chose poorly.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I did hear about this. They beat the crap out of them, didn't they?
Beat the snot out of
them. Yeah.
I mean, beat them bloody senseless and left them in the park.
Yes.
Beat them bloody senseless. And in countries that we all want to admire, like France, which have these super de-duper stringent gun laws and all that other kind of stuff, mm-hmm. It's been so bad that the French are arming themselves. Mm. I've seen at least a half a dozen videos where half a dozen Muslim guys try and take some guy's briefcase or, you know, some woman's bag or something like that, and end up dead in the middle of some V or Rue or whatever, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea this was happening.
People are turning around, whether it's a Beretta, a Colt, a, you know, an SK. It doesn't make any difference. They're pulling guns out of their belt, and they're drilling these clowns and leaving them in the street.
Good. I'm sorry.
Leaving them in the street.
No,
I'm like, wow, that's a me move.
Yeah.
You know, my thing was always, you know what, you don't, you once you kill them, you just leave them in the wire. That way their friends know who's not coming home for supper.
Oh, I agree.
You know, and this is happening. You don't hear it on the mainstream media, but you can find it. You can find it. You go, anybody that's listening and doesn't believe me, go ahead, Google it. Mm. Go ahead, go. It's like I say, you know, look, even when I do my videos, I say, look, I'm not going to give you everything on a silver plate. I'm going to tell you the way it is. You go look at it if mm-hmm. you want to know. If you don't want to know, that's not my problem. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm making this because it's for me. If you don't like the way I put it and you want to have the way you put it, then you start your own damn channel. You know, and when it comes right down to it, these people they're shooting these people. You know, there's one guy in a semi going down whatever road it was in France.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there were people trying to climb on his truck and, you know, and he had one of those GoPro cameras on his mirror.
Right.
And he's going down and they're trying to climb on his truck. And he starts swerving the truck and knocking them off the road.
Well, good. He should. Because they would kill him.
I don't know what he's saying, you know, in French, because, you know, I mean, if they have any importance, they say it in English. But, you know, wham, he's knocking these guys right off the road and into the ditch and stuff. And he's going down the street. Good for him. I don't know if anything ever happened to the guy, but you know, this other farmer in, where was it, Greece?
Don't know.
They had a I think it was Greece. They had a tent city on his field.
Oh my God, really?
And when the government came to him and he says, "Oh yeah, you want to put a dozen families there? That's fine. You know, no problem. I'll take one for the team. You want to put a dozen? Yeah, put them over there under the trees, right?" Mm-hmm. Well, he ended up with like 700 families out in the middle of his field.
Oh, my God.
And when I say families, I mean, you know, a whole bunch of bearded widows and orphans, you know, mm-hmm. of combat age, mm-hmm. you know. And he said, look, you know, you got to help me out here. You know, I didn't mind a dozen families or something over there in the corner. But I've got all I've got several hundred men.
Jeez.
And they're littering and they're this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, they're unclean and all
yes.
that. And they said, well, we really can't do anything about it. So he started plowing. He fired up his tractor
mm-hmm.
and started to plow.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take kindly.
Mm-hmm.
But he's up in his tractor. What are you going to do? Get in the way of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
he just started plowing. You know, I warned you. I came out here 3 days in a row and said, I got to plow this field. You know, I've got to plant food. You know, all this other, and it's Greece. I mean, you know, if you got somebody who can plant food, the last thing the cops should say is, oh, we can't help you.
Yeah.
The cops should say, you're going to grow food? Yeah, well, we'll be right there.
That's right.
You know, I mean, look, it's Greece. They're all, but they're hurting, you know? Yeah. And they didn't help him out. They didn't help him out. So he started plowing. He plowed under, like, I don't know, half a dozen tents. And then they got the idea, maybe we should just carry these over there under the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people are not. And the problem is you don't hear about it in the media. And if you don't hear about it in the media, you don't know what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on, you're not going to be ready for when it starts happening mm-hmm. here.
Well, you know, there's the mafia is starting to fight back in Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're kind of just...
And in Little Italy.
What do you mean?
Well, they turned to de Blasio and said, if you've got problems with the Muslims and stuff like that, we'll handle it. We got it.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. No,
oh, yeah. But yeah, the Gambino family. Oh, yeah.
The mob is... Yeah, but in Sicily, they said they shot an innocent person on the street. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. And one guy commented on the article. He said, look, he said, I live in Palermo, Sicily, he said, and the mayor we have is an idiot. He said he's not looking after the people. Palermo is more like a Middle Eastern city than it is Italian or European. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're trying to get rid of this mayor.
It's Sicilian.
Well, I know, but you know, Sicilian.
It's like Sardinian. You don't.
Yeah, he's Sicilian / Italian. He said, and European. There, you kind of have to throw all of them together because you know the Greeks invaded, the Turks invaded, and you know. So he said it's pretty bad. You know, and I'm wondering when the heck the Italians are going to start fighting back against this. It's like,
well, I think it's a similar thing to the Germans.
I don't see any. You know,
nobody wants it to be called, you know, Mussolini. Nobody wants it, you know.
Well, you know, what are we going to do with the French? What are we going to call them?
Well, that's the sort of
the Vichy? I mean, come on.
You know,
it's not like it's a Vichy government again.
They're going to have the Al Vichy government.
I just don't understand this.
Vichy Jazeera or whatever it's called. Vichy Akbar or something.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just fed up.
I look at it this way. You get these people together, and it's, you can't turn around. I'm sorry, that's Palermo. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy's useless. Okay, fine. But you don't have to even say that because the Black Hand never gave a damn if the mayor was any good or not.
That's true. That is true. But the thing is that now they're not the dominant force, and they're saying that these sort of like mob-like guys...
They will be very soon.
...came up with all these quote-unquote refugees, and they're starting to challenge
mm-hmm.
the mafia. So they're getting
Britain First.
Mm-hmm.
Which has all kinds of ties, and I guess the cleanest of the ties is UKIP.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go further down from there. So everybody's picking on the people who run Britain First and the Neo, what do they call it, the Neo Templars, which I'm against, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Co-opting the use of the word Templar to me is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a problem with being, you know, look, medieval, you know, mm-hmm. I'm my master's in medieval history.
Go.
But these people, when they go and they march through whatever neighborhood that they're marching through, they get the bobbies on either side of them, and they march through these areas of Britain, whether it's in, you know, East London, or whether it's, you know, up the coast somewhere, you know, whether it's in Kent, wherever.
Uh-huh.
And the bobbies have to, you know, escort them through these Muslim neighborhoods. And, the, you know, all these bearded, battle-aged widows and orphans
mm-hmm.
line up, and they flip obscene gestures, and they scream, and they spit, and they throw things at them, you know, to and including glass bottles, human excrement, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And they just pick up their Union Jacks and keep on moving. And they've got bobbies on either side of them.
Really?
Oh, you know, yeah, they have to because mm-hmm. they get.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
You know, we're going to march. We're going to march in this neighborhood today, uh-huh. and cops, the Metro cops, go, wait for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, every single. You look at the faces. You go to YouTube and watch these things. You go and you look, and every one of those bobbies is like, yeah, come on, come on, come on, Akbar, bring that glass bottle just a little closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those bobbies are definitely what Cameron doesn't realize is that the sentiment, for as much as he has tried to spin it, the sentiment is with UKIP. The sentiment is with.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, oh, definitely.
You know, the Britain First people, the Neo-Templars.
But you have the British press. You know, the BBC. Let's start with just the BBC. And many
makes
of
our
the,
NPR look like flaming right-wingers.
Exactly. And, yeah. And, you know, a lot of the British newspapers, I mean, my God, they're such lefties. So they're either...
Wait. Let me stick a plug in here real quick, okay?
Okay.
Tony, the Australians make the BBC look like right-wingers. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. But the thing is...
She listens, and she's in Australia.
Oh, okay. But the thing is that, you know, you have the left-wingers that control a lot of the media there. So what it is that they're not putting this stuff in. Or, you know, the stuff that goes into the newspaper is so cleansed, and it is just...
Didn't I just go through about 20 minutes of stuff you've never heard of?
Right. That's what I'm saying, though. But
and
you
if
don't...
we never heard of it, and they're to the left of us, you know they never heard of it.
True. True. I know. But the thing... Okay, fine.
Mm-mm. No, not okay, fine. Make your point, because I want everybody to hear it from both of us. I want everybody to hear it from my way to hell and gone out there, cranky old son of a guinea mode, and I wanted to hear it from your level-headed, more erudite mode.
Erudite, yeah, okay. Britain is undergoing something that they're sort of like the chickens are coming home to roost in Great Britain because they were the British Empire. Mm-hmm. And everybody who... became part of the British Empire, became a subject of the British mm-hmm. Empire, which gave them the right to emigrate,
mm-hmm.
all right, to England or any part of the Great Britain. Mm-hmm. So basically what's happening now is...
Within the realm. Yeah.
Within the realm, and they can no longer really control this stuff. And mm-hmm. you have towns, you have villages, you have mm-hmm. parts of cities in England... Mm-hmm. that have become overrun, and yet you have not only the politicians, you have the media that is trying to spin this as the evil British people not helping out these poor, poor Muslims.
Well, do you know how that started? I'll tell you how it started. It started in 1947, because back before Israel became a state in mm-hmm. 1948, right. During the partition.
That's right, yeah.
The Palestinians, which, because of the way it was laid out, the Transjordan, the Palestinians, etc., all had the rights because it was British
right.
realm.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is, all anybody had to do was leave through Palestine, and it didn't matter where they were from. All anybody had to do was leave through Jordan or the Transjordan, you know, the Transjordan... Jordan, Yemen, that whole, you know, the Sinai, all through there, right, was fine. And then, you know, they could all come through there. So it didn't make any difference where they were actually from. Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, you know, they weren't really allowed from there. But if they came through that way, you know, they come up through the, you know, Oman and then, you know, up through the whole territory there, they could get to England.
Right.
Because, you know, look, and I really, really, really want to impress this on anybody listening to me here in America. Because we do have multinational, but I want to impress on people from here in America. I do not believe that the Sikh in the United States Army should be wearing his turban or his beard.
No, he should not.
Okay? And that's just me. I adore the Sikhs. I know Sikhs.
Mm-hmm.
I know what their ethos is.
Mm-hmm.
I know who they are, what they are. I know the difference. I understand it. And you don't know warriors like the Sikhs and the Gurkhas.
Right. No, you're right.
All right. But if you're going to join the United States Army, you join the United States Army. We don't have a Gurkha Brigade.
No, we don't.
We don't have a Sikh division.
No, we don't.
All right. the Queen does.
That's right.
Prince Charles does. You know, Prince Andrew does. We don't. You know, if you want to join our army, you do it our way. But it's going to get, depending on how things go in November, it could get ugly. And I want to make sure that anybody that listens to us who has a question about what I'm about to say, do not for a second hesitate to call me. Sikhs are not our enemy. The Hindu are not our enemy.
Nope.
The Gurkha are not our enemy. Right? The Muslim is our enemy.
Yeah.
Boko Haram, Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood, the Daesh, whatever, they're our enemy. These other people are not our enemy. And would you please stop vandalizing the signs for ISIS bookstores across the country? You know, they're breaking the signs, the fluorescent signs out in front of new age bookstores across the country as they say ISIS on them. And nail salons and you know, things
what?
Like that. Listen. Yeah, oh yeah.
Wait a minute. What? You lost me.
There are places in this country called ISIS nail salon, ISIS bookstore, you know, ISIS magical supply.
Oh, yeah. Wrong ISIS, guys.
But in the meantime, when the torches and pitchforks come out, please make sure of your, rule number one, rule number three, actually, in the NRA code. Be sure of your target and what lies beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure of your target. And it's just to the point where it's going to get so ugly. You know, we talked about a moment ago, well, okay, fine, the cities are going to burn, okay, fine. You know, then we're going to have to deal with all those illegalities. You know, okay, fine, we can do that. Because all we got to do is, you know, we don't need special private jets. All we need is buses.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they got here in the back of freaking semi-trailers?
Yeah,
you
they
take
did,
them in
yeah.
buses, whatever.
Oh, heck, underneath tunnels. I mean, did you hear
about whatever. Oh, yeah. How much was
the
that
huge
one? How much
oh, my God.
Was it $7 million or
yeah,
something?
I believe $7 to $10 million, somewhere around there. I'm like, oh, my
with
God.
With railroad tracks in it.
I know.
And lights and bathrooms built into every so many. No,
oh,
I don't
some
know
of these darn things have sleeping quarters.
Yes, they've that got, I know.
You know, it's just. Oh, come on, folks. Oh, yeah, no. They're not a threat. Oh, no, they're just coming over just to look for work. Yeah, right. That's why we have a heroin problem in this country, because everything's coming up from Mexico.
I saw where I can't reach it. I'm trying, but it slows the processor down too quickly. They had one coming out of the Gaza last week.
Mm-hmm.
They had one coming out of the Gaza. It was like almost a kilometer long.
Jeez Louise. Really?
Yeah.
And they bomb it.
The Israelis said, oh, we can fix this.
Yeah.
And they laid charges and ran a Bangalore down the middle and pulled the pin, walked away, and had lunch.
Yeah. Now that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
That's like playing the guitar on the MTV, baby. That's the way you do it.
Yep.
I'm telling you, just, you know, and I just want to get another plug in here real quick. If you're listening to me, and Amory, of course, and Barry when he sneezes.
Nobody listens to me. Go ahead.
And you live here in the continental United States, or actually, you know, anywhere in the 50 states. You know, I don't know about Guam and don't care about Puerto Rico. You know, the day you vote to be a state, I'll care about you. In the meantime, you keep putting it off.
Oh, but wait a minute. They still want our money. They want money to get them out of bankruptcy. It's like, no.
I mean, all the money we already send you isn't enough? All the money you don't send us isn't enough? Gee, you think you're turning into another third world country where all the rich people are riding around in Cadillacs? You know, all the apparatchiks are riding around in Cadillacs and the rest of you are eating chicken feet out of the dump?
Mm-hmm.
Let's
go ahead, because I want to talk about something else real quick.
No, go ahead. Go. Move on.
Let's move on. I was going to say move on. Well, New York primary.
Yeah. New York primary. There was a, oh yeah. You know what? I got the vapors and swooned. I was so shocked at the results.
I can't believe Kasich came in second. I really can. Yeah, I know it, but it's just like, oh my gosh.
That's not the first time.
The thing I know, but the thing is that the last thing we need is this this conceited, you know, blowhard to still be around. Now his chest is so out and he's pounding himself on the chest like Tarzan. Look what I did.
Until next week. Anyway, in the meantime, look, not for nothing, but if things had played a little differently, I honestly believe Kasich was a better candidate than Cruz.
Well, you know what? I used to like Cruz, and now he's a little creepy to me now. He really is. I don't know where it happened, but now I get the creeps when I hear him speak, and I cannot...
I'll tell you where it came from. He doesn't play offense well.
Well, no. You know what it sounds like when he speaks? It sounds like a combination of a swarmy politician and a preacher.
Yep.
And I can't stand either one of them.
That's his Tea Party roots being watered with the GOPE funding.
Yeah, he's starting to get it. There was something on Fox News today.
Yeah, but he doesn't know. What he doesn't know... Mm-hmm. Is that they don't like him either, and they're going to throw him under the bus.
Yes.
He thinks that he's got their favor. Yeah. He really honestly believes that he's their guy, and they convinced him. You know what? They might as well take a tattoo gun and write charms across the front of his forehead. He's such a big sucker.
Well, you know what? The thing is that what he doesn't realize is that basically he was being used as a foil against Trump. Okay?
Yep. So, yeah, but he doesn't know it.
What? Can I get a point out?
No, you got it. I'm augmenting your point.
Okay. Well, no, the thing is that he thinks, oh, wow, you know, they like me. They really like me. When in reality, they don't. Their plan was, obviously, to kick Trump out, all right, then sort of back Cruz, but then really tie his hands during the general election. So Hillary would get elected. Right? Because people would look at Cruz and go, well, what happened to the firebrand? He's not doing anything anymore. So people would sit home, Hillary would get in, and the GOP would be absolutely fine with that.
Because, of course they would.
Yes, because they are, as I've said before, the Republican wing of the Democratic Party.
Yep.
They are.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, I was watching Neil Cavuto today, and he had on a GOP fundraiser. And I am listening and watching this woman, and she said that Donald Trump had to start accepting money from the GOP party donors. And Neil Cavuto was like looking and going, well, can you explain that a bit? Yeah. And she said, well, you know, I keep getting people because they're going to want, he's got to accept stuff from them.
He's got it, or he did. There's
no, he has not accepted things.
I didn't think so. Yeah.
She said that he has to start accepting money from the GOP major donors. And I'm thinking this over, and I'm like, oh, so they can tell him what to do? So basically, she just came out and said that. I mean, it's like everything that she was saying and explaining why he had to accept the money was because they feel that, you know, they need to be a part of it. And I'm like, what are you kidding? And I'm just sitting there going, you know, because this is the way things go, you know?
You know what I find amusing?
And I'm like, what do you mean this is the way things go? Well, guess what, honey? You have just indicated exactly what is wrong with our political system right now.
Yes.
Right there.
You just
bingo.
Right to it. Bingo. You pinned the tail on the elephant.
And it's like, aha. Uh-huh. So,
on the stinking, rotting corpse of an elephant, you pinned the tail.
Yeah. Exactly. Because Donald Trump has to accept money from these big donors. It's like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't need crap from them.
If he doesn't take their money, then what will happen is next January, should he be elected, they'll all turn around and say he bought the White House.
But you know what? He bought it with his own money.
And in which
he is beholden to no one.
But you know, look, you know, it amazes me because
But I couldn't believe this woman. She's sitting there and she's dead serious about how the donors have to donate to the party. And, and you know, she goes, and here I am meeting with them, you know, and you know, it's like I'm sitting there and I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that this woman is saying he's got to accept money from these donors. Because she's trying to placate them, say, well, you know, and everything. And I'm like, what?
I was watching Outnumbered, and it was Julie Roginski and Meghan McCain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Meghan McCain, really? Oh, yeah. Man.
Well, look, I'm sorry.
I should volunteer my. I should say, hey, listen, why don't you give me a chance? Throw her off. Give me a chance. At least I have a brain.
She's only on there once in a while.
Oh, my
gosh. And, I mean, look, you know, at least she's not going to vote for Hillary.
You don't know that.
No, I don't know that, but I got a hunch she at least won't vote for Hillary.
She will, because her father is exactly like Hillary.
I know that, but I don't think she'll actually do it.
I do.
I think Julie will, you know, but... you know, I watched The Outnumbered, you know, because, oh, wait, hold on. Shout out. Hi, Harris. Hi, Andrea. Good girl. You know, but, I mean, I watch Outnumbered and, you know, partly as a political, you know, person that I am and partly as a an amateur stylist. And because, hi, Stacey. Because I don't know if Stacey London listens all the time, but once in a while. You know, and I know that Meghan very likely voted for Hillary in the primary. I know Julie voted for Hillary in the primary.
That's their right, okay?
Yes, it is.
They can vote for whomever they want.
She's the one who sits in Juan's seat when Juan's not there, you know, on the five.
Oh, there you go. Right? That explains it all.
Yes, indeed. And she's a wonderful, wonderful person. I'm sure she's a great mother. In the meantime, you know, she is Eastern European, came here, you know, 30 years ago, et cetera. You know,
wait a minute. Excuse me. She's Eastern European?
Julie Roginski, yeah. She came from one of the republics that I can't pronounce.
And she's a Democrat?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It sounds weird.
There's one word. Sumashedshaya. Which means crazy in Russian. Okay. So if she's listening. Dorogagamaya.
Well, you know what? She'll probably understand you. I don't, but that's okay. I have a hard enough time with words like apparatchik, you know, but and stolichnaya, you know, it's
stolichnaya.
And comrade. I can't bring myself to say that.
Tovarish.
I say tovarish. But anyhow, the idea is, I know those, you know, look, Harris and Sandra, you know, I'm sorry, they are very poker-faced when it comes to the election. Andrea is a New Yorker. She's Trump up one side, down the other. She has actually gone out of her way to say, I am not endorsing anybody, but you can tell where her water is being carried.
Well, maybe. Okay.
You know, the same thing with a lot of the other girls on the shows, you know, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Okay. There's no making any mistake where she's voting. You know, Dana, I'm not sure. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, but you take people like Bowling and Kennedy. These people are hardcore libertarian.
And that's fine.
These people are right up the middle of libertarian. Yet, they've got no use for the fact that Stossel actually had a libertarian debate with three different people.
Mm-hmm.
They have no truck with it.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, why are we even talking to these people? You know, like, I don't know how many people actually watched that. I don't know what their demographic was. You know, I don't know what their Nielsen was on that, you know. But somebody should have got a hold of them and said, John. Just, you know, you want to have this debate? Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? See if CNN will carry it or MSNBC. We're not going to cover it. You know, because, I mean, I know fair and balanced and all this other stuff, but, you know, we don't need anybody taking away votes because two things. First of all, every vote for somebody other than the Republican Party, as much as it pains me to say this, is a vote for Hillary.
Yeah, but you know what? This election, I think, is going to be very, very different. You have people coming out for Trump who haven't voted in years because they finally they think that we finally have a candidate that speaks for them. So I think you have a part of the electorate that is going to be coming out of the woodwork on this election.
Somebody said this morning, I watched some of the stuff I missed yesterday the next morning, you know, mm-hmm. and somebody said something, you know, the whole thing with the bluster and the bravado and all this other stuff and the anger and stuff that brought Trump this far. And, you know, I know Gutfeld is not a fan of Trump, but I don't know what he's going to do in the ballot box. That's none of my business, so it's okay. But when we look at it through the lens of what's actually going to take place, mm-hmm. who can beat whom becomes the issue. And all that aggravation, you know, and all that all that aggravation and angst is great. It did. It brought a lot of people out of the woodwork. But you can't deny the MySelects Mafia.
Well,
you can't deny the Vagisil voter. I mean, they're coming out in droves, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. You know, they're coming out in droves. And when we have issues that are forefront and we get into trade and we get into jobs and we get into the wall and we get into these things where that are such polarizing issues. You know, I mean, what did he say yesterday? Trump said something about let anybody go into any bathroom they want. You know, well, I'm okay with letting anybody into any bathroom they want to go into. I really don't have a problem with that. You know, if you're, you know, you gotta pee. So you go into whichever bathroom you feel you want to go into.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, wait, I didn't finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Of course, if you act the fool while you're in there and you fall down a lot between the time you, you know, get from the front door to the back door and, you know, you just going to take a pee means you come out of the restroom all bleeding and cut and, you know, stuff like that. Well, you know, no harm, no foul.
Okay. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, what about these guys who may dress up and just to get in there, the perverts and everything. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm sorry, but if you're transgender, to me, you're a pervert. You're in the same category as... I'm sorry. You need mental help, folks. Listen, wait a minute, Lou. Just because you think you are something does not mean that you are, okay? I'm 5'2". Let's see. What am I going to do? I love football. So all of a sudden, I'm a 6 foot tall wide receiver, and the NFL should give me a tryout?
Like that 56-year-old guy who identifies as a 6-year-old little girl?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, come on. You're trying to tell me he doesn't need help?
Well, you know, look, he does need help. But in the meantime, all I can tell you is this. If you happen to be in Maine, not you, you know, in general, I'm speaking in a broader sense here. You happen to be in Maine and you got to go and you happen to be in Walmart, you know, and you go in and you, you got to go and you're in the stall next to my wife and your iPhone shows up under the edge of the stall. I hope it's set to pre-dial the coroner.
Yeah.
Because she won't even ask. She's going to dump, you know, 3 or 4 rounds of 9mm through that freaking divider.
Well, no.
And that's that.
Okay, no. I do not want to be in a bathroom with a man who thinks he's a woman. I don't care if he's not going to rape me or do anything like that. Because let me tell you something. Let me just say this. You know, as a woman, a lot of times you get over to the sink and all of a sudden you realize maybe something is out of order. So you kind of mm-hmm. adjust. And it's like, I do not want to look at left or right of me and see this guy standing there. I really don't. I don't want to see Caitlyn Jenner, okay?
that's not something I've had experience with. But, you know, I mean, I could, I suppose, you know. But look, here's my thing. I don't care what your son identifies as. He doesn't belong in the bathroom with my daughter.
I agree. But he doesn't belong in with me either.
And as far as I'm concerned, here's the thing. With the exception of the odd occasion, and they point to them all the time, there's two or three kids in this country that, you know, they decided at like 1 year old that they were the wrong gender or something, you know, gender dissociative, whatever it's called.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, that means they needed therapy.
That's right. Yeah, but you have parents that...
Drugs. Lots of drugs. Well, lots of drugs.
No, heavy on the drugs. You have parents that encourage this, too. You get a three-year-old boy. I just saw it on, on some site. And the mother said, okay, you want to dress as a girl? That's fine.
No, it's not fine.
It's 3 years old. What is wrong with the mother? The mother also needs some therapy. Oh,
look, here's my thing. If you turn around and your kid comes to you when it's just borderline, say 9, 10 years old, and they're getting that very early little shot of hormone, you know, whether it's male hormone, female hormone, whatever, they're starting to get that first little taste, you know, starting to creep into their bloodstream, you know, whatever gland it is that pushes this stuff out. Just oh, look, a drop. Oh, oh, oh. You know, kind of a thing. That first little taste. And they decide, uh-oh, something ain't right here. So, okay, well, you know, the kid's 10 years old, 11 years old, so they're in like fourth grade, fifth grade. Okay, listen, you've only got 4 or 5 years left of school. We'll deal with it when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, you go to gym class with the boys, you change with the boys, you go to the bathroom with the boys, and we'll get you, you know, when the time comes, you know, we'll be all set. You know, when you become old enough that you can go and sign a form for the drugs that'll change you around, and the surgery that'll change you around, and the legal documents that'll change your birth certificate and your driver's license, when you get old enough for all that stuff, we'll discuss it. But unless and until you've started down that road, and I mean hardcore, like medically provable that you started down that road,
right.
I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look, if you already had the surgery, I understand, don't get me wrong, I mean, I know what it means to have had the surgery because I've done some research on this. You know, not for me personally, no, not like that. But you know what I mean, I've been paying attention to this issue. You know, because I'm happy with the plumbing I got.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, from what it takes to do this, man, you got to be serious. I don't care if you're seriously mentally fooled up or you're serious, you know, emotionally fooled up or you're serious gender fooled up, whatever it is. For you to go through what it takes to do that.
Right.
God bless you.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll sign your driver's license for you.
But you go through it the whole way.
You go through it. If you don't go through it, you know, you're going to stand there with a hairy chest and a dress on. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Because if I'm standing there and my wife comes out of the bathroom and says that there's this pervert in there and he's taking pictures under the stall doors and I forgot to bring my gun with me today, I'm going in.
No. But it's got nothing to do with a pervert on that, you know. Against a woman. There's two type of perverts, I'm sorry, that are going into the ladies' room right now. Those that want to harm women and those that think they're women. I'm sorry. You need help.
No, you need help. Look, like I said, if you go through the trouble, if you need so much help that you actually get them, and I'm going to try and skirt this, but I'm just going to gloss over it very gently. They take it, they cut the guts out of it, and stuff it back in you inside out. If you're willing to do that and take enough hormones that your Adam apple disappears and your beard disappears and the hair on your chest disappears and all of a sudden high heels fit you better, you know, if you're willing to go through that, the odds are pretty good that you're not going to molest any women that are in there. You're probably, all you want to do is go in there and take a squirt. You know, okay, fine, good for you. You know, because you're not going to bother nobody. All you want is your own little life, and, you know, God bless you. Have a nice time. This is America. You can do what you want. But if you're going to stand there and you're going to go, you know, into a stall, and you're still going to stand in front of, you know, stand right there and let it hit the water, you're in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what happened to me. Last year I was in Walmart, in a super Walmart up here, okay? And I was in the cosmetic, you know, women's cosmetics, you know, looking at makeup and stuff like this. And there was this woman with her little girl. Little girl's about three, no, little boy was about 3 years old. And he's just looking, and he's looking around. And all of a sudden, I notice, let me back up here. It wasn't in the makeup section. It was just in, like, the soaps and everything. And the little boy is sitting, and he looks at me. And then all of a sudden, he looks at me funny again. But I realize he's not looking at me. And I turn, and there's this guy next to me, right? You know, and I look at him, and he's got an earring in his ear, right? A lot of guys wear earrings in their ears, right?
So do I.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have no problem with, I mean, you know, it's a fashion statement or whatever.
Yeah, we did it as a solidarity thing in the early 70s in the jungle.
Right. And, you know, stuff like that. So, I'm fine. But the little kid is still looking at this guy really strange, right? And I'm like, okay. So I look, and then I realize the guy's got a lovely frilly blouse on, and he's got a lovely skirt on.
Oh yeah, you encountered a Walmartian.
And wait a minute, and he's still got hairy legs.
Yep.
And he's got women's jewelry on, and he's wearing women's shoes and everything.
No, different.
And
that's
I
different.
Realize that the little kid is confused. Now, if you have a little three-year-old who sees that something is wrong.
Yeah, so now what you got to do is go down to housewares and buy eye bleach and dump it into the kid's head.
Well, the woman looked, and the mother looked, and she kind of went, oh, let's go, honey, you know.
You encountered a Walmartian.
Oh, no, it was more than that.
No, a Walmartian, that's what they're called.
Yeah, I know. There's a whole bunch of them. I've seen them online. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. Go online and Google Walmartian and watch some of their videos. They're hysterical. Oh, my, and we've got them here in Maine. We've got not as often.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Not as often, but we see them once in a while at the Walmart down here. And but the thing is, you need to turn around and you need to say, okay, you know, you need to get between him and the little kid and make a motion to the mother and let her pick the kid up and carry him away and dump some eye bleach in his eye.
Saw it. She got the kid out of there. Well, let's go, honey. Yeah.
You know, well, exactly. But, you know, here's the thing. I mean, look, there's people out there that are just plain, and it has nothing to do with whether they're perverts. They're just plain weird.
Yeah,
I mean, look at Georgios Sokalos. You know, look at Georgios Sokalos.
Who?
You know, he doesn't know why those people are in Walmart, but if he had a guess, aliens.
Who are we talking about?
Georgios Sokalos. He's the ancient aliens dude with the hair.
Okay.
Oh, you don't watch Ancient Aliens?
No, I don't.
Oh, do you remember way back when people used to watch Wheel of Fortune? They used to have an ad that said, "What's Vanna gonna wear tonight?"
No.
Yeah, years ago there was a. I didn't watch Wheel of Fortune. Usually, when Jeopardy went off, I got up and went did other things. But you know, when Wheel of Fortune, they used to have an ad for Wheel of Fortune that said, "What's Vanna wearing tonight?"
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
You know, and I think she's still there. She's been there for like 50 years. But anyway,
and
you know,
looks great.
Yeah, and she put three surgeons' kids through college too.
Yeah, so what?
But
I wish
so
I could
what?
Do that.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's, you know, what's Vanna going to wear tonight? You know, it was the thing because she was always dressed in some gown, you know. So, okay, fine, you know. Well, that's the thing. People watch Ancient Astronauts or Ancient Aliens, whatever it's called on History Channel, because they want to see what Giorgio's hair looks like tonight.
Okay.
Type in Giorgio Ancient Alien, and you'll see exactly what I mean. He's a meme. He's so bad off. He's actually a meme. He's an internet meme.
Okay.
I don't understand, therefore, aliens. You know, everything's aliens with him. You know, I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, mankind, you know, 50 years ago couldn't possibly have come up with the way to get to the moon, ergo aliens. You know, so, you know, everything's aliens. But, you know, Walmartians are that. They're aliens. You know, whether you're talking about men ones, women ones, you know, northern ones, southern ones, they're aliens. That's all there is to it. But that's not the same thing as somebody who has a legitimate, you know, gabados. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's, there's a difference between that and what, you know, somebody who's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're crazy, that's one thing. You know, you can dismiss that. Well, they're crazy. But if somebody has a legitimate mental disorder, you know, that's a little different. You know, if somebody has a psychological, you know, something you can look up in the DSM-3 and say, okay, well, they have gender disassociative, whatever.
Okay, but what is that?
Oh, if it's in the DSM, that means it's a mental disorder.
Thank you. There you go. Bingo.
Well, you know, they say that half of them are born that way and the other half are sucked into it. Oh, did I say that out loud?
That's why I groaned. You're evil.
No, I'm not evil. Hey, look, they could walk through Walmart the way I make my podcasts.
Hey, oh, God.
Don't forget, I ride around in a little... I use the little electric scooter, so I could get away with an awful lot of stuff.
I will never, ever go shopping with you. Never.
Why not? You went to the feast with me.
Yeah, I know. But that's when you were still ambulatory.
Oh, all of a sudden, the fact that I'm in the wheelchair, now it's not as good anymore.
No, you were forced to wear pants. I am not going to take the chance that you're going to be...
Laugh it up, Buzzball. Yeah. I was wearing a fedora hat, too. Does that count?
I could just see you being labeled as the crazy old man going around to people going, hi, I don't have any pants on. You know.
Hey, come stai? I'm a guy with no pants. You see my pants? Where's my pants?
Oh,
I'm
God.
Depressed. I'm depressed. My wife didn't depress on my pants.
Hey, I got this study, okay? The Telegraph, UK Telegraph, published it. It says wives become less stressed.
Less stressed when their husbands die.
After their husbands die.
My wife's going to go, that's your day. She's going to be, that's over. Oh, me.
Grazie a Dio.
Rest in peace, my wonderful husband, but I'm on
It's time phone. To party. Woohoo!
We want to live long enough. We want to live long. We do. We want to live long enough that between me and the wheelchair and Debbie, between the two of us,
right.
We want to live long enough that she can be pushing me in the wheelchair down the street naked. And her son running behind us saying, yeah, God damn it, Mom, put your pants on. No! You can't catch us! You know, of course, we're going to be moving like a snail, right?
You can't catch us!
We're going to be going full steam ahead, and it's going to be like, down the street. But somebody call somebody, take one of them guns, right in the butt, and we'll fall asleep, and they'll put our clothes on, but our teeth out, and
there they go.
You know, that's how long we want to live, just long enough for that.
911 call. 911, can I help you? The Masitellos are at it again.
Yeah, they're at it again. Okay, fine.
Here we go. Right. All right, let's go sweep them up. Let's do.
You know, it's like, hello, Unit 1. Yeah. The Masitellos are at it again. Are you sure you don't want to call animal control? With the net?
The net, the guys in the white. Remember the old time thing? Oh, my God.
It'll be the old time thing, and they'll come out with Frankie and a net. Some guy named Frankie with a net. You know, it's like, no, look, that's the kind of thing.
You got to be serious. Okay, go ahead.
I am being sick. No, we want to live long enough to have that kind of fun. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because look, face it, if we make it through the next...
I think if we make it through the next 8 months...
more than that, I'd say a year. Because we've got to go... Yeah, we got to go. We got to get through the first 100 days of a new administration.
Well, this is what concerns me. Just like it, you have a whole bunch of terrorists who are now making plans to strike in this country after Donald Trump is inaugurated. And of course, it's going to make him look bad. But what people don't understand is that the Middle Eastern mind, even the European mind, and the Oriental mind, you know, China and everything,
the inscrutable Oriental, yeah.
They see things in the future.
Yes.
They think 10, 20 years ahead. So Americans don't do that. A lot of Western civilization, especially us, we don't do that. So remember in 93 when they hit the Twin Towers? Yep. Yeah. First thing. Okay. Day after, they were making plans.
Yep.
They were making plans.
Yep. And I have, you know something, though, I really fail. I get your point. I do. But I really fail to see how the rational mind, and mind you, I said rational mind.
Okay.
If they did something after the election or at on or about, you know, inauguration, you know, or something like that, where Trump elected, I really see no way that a rational mind could turn around and blame it on the fact that Trump got elected. I think what it is that everybody would look and turn around and say, okay, look, we elected Trump and they struck. But that's because had we elected Hillary, they might have struck, they might not have. You know, they would have put demands forth that she would have either had a kowtow to, you know, or Bernie, same thing, you know, saying, you know, here's our demands, or we're going to blow up, you know, one world trade, you know, or one world plaza, whatever they're calling it this week. You know, or we're going to hit the Sears Tower, or we're going to hit the Space right. Needle, we're going to, you know, but John Hancock Tower, you know, right. So, you know, the idea is that I don't think anybody would with, you know, two rational brain cells to rub together could possibly blame it on or make him look bad for the fact that it occurs.
Okay.
What will make him look bad is his response.
Well, you see, you're talking, you mentioned, you said two words, rational mind. Now, you know as well as I do that in the liberal mind, rationality doesn't figure into their thinking. Okay, to be rational, no, that's not part of the liberal mind. So you know darn well that they will automatically blame him.
Oh, of course. Okay. Oh, of course.
Or any Republican who was in.
Oh, of course. Absolutely, positively.
Right. So I don't know. You know, I mean, George Bush came in, was inaugurated. Hello.
In 2004, yeah.
No. George, no, first time. They hit us 2001, right?
Right.
And he was inaugurated what?
2001.
January, right? Yeah. Yes. January, it was, you know. So there you go.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. Is as I said, I think what's going to be
the
more critical
is
the response. And right. Because, you know, remember back in 08, the statistics came out that something like only 23% of Americans identified themselves as liberal.
That's true.
And now I understand it's up to 26 or 27%, somewhere in that range.
Well, that's because they're young people.
Well, yeah, there's young people involved. But then again, they may call themselves liberal, and some other people may call themselves more moderate because of the options, you know, nowadays.
Right.
You know, trying to choose between Bernie and Hillary. with that said, you know, we still, if nothing
frying
else, outnumber them.
The frying. Yeah.
3-1.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then here's the grain of salt with which to take that.
What?
The wave that is carrying the sentiment against the GOP establishment.
Mm-hmm.
The wave that put Trump there in the first place, the wave that put Cruz where he became in the first place, was the wave of the anti-Republican GOP dead, rotting corpse of an elephant.
That's right. Sentiment. Mm-hmm.
And when you take that into account, the fact that there are enough people out there hiding in the woods in their Walmart camouflage,
mm-hmm.
You know, and enough people out there that will pick up the torches and pitchforks and carry them to the town square. His response is going to be more key than the actual attack. They would literally have to.
Good point. No, that is a good point. If annihilate. He does not, yeah. If he, if he does not come out strongly, and
Justice Swift and Sure will guarantee him re-election. If it's 1 month into his cycle, it'll guarantee him re-election. Justice Swift and Sure.
Yeah, I really don't think that he will freeze. I really don't. Because
I don't think he'll leave a blank, let alone freeze.
No, I don't. You know another thing that really bothered me that I heard? That last week there were a bunch of former or present Intel people who swore that they would not be part of a Trump administration, or they wouldn't even help him out in the campaign. To you know, and I'm like, what? So obviously, you're back.
It's been infiltrated. No, obviously, it's been infiltrated enough in the course of the last 8 years.
Yes.
By hacks and appointees and apparatchiks.
Well, no, these are people who said that they were Republican. Too.
That's what they said. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know, and what? That they are Republican or so on. And so and it's just like, heck, Mr. Trump, I'll help you.
Hell yeah, call me.
Call me.
Call me. I'm still waiting for the governor to call me. You know, I've offered the governor, I've offered LePage several times. You know, I've been fairly scathing on him where he's wrong, and I've been supportive where he's right. And I said to him, I said, give me a call. I'll help.
You know, we just have to see what happens. Things are going to
speaking of when W was inaugurated, did you see the report what it cost when the Clintons left the White House?
Oh, God, yeah.
The vandalism?
Yes, the vandalism. Disgusting.
They pried all the W's off all the cute... All
they did more than that. They took China. They took...
One particular... Well, that's the Clintons personally. I'm talking about the staff.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're
you know, they used... on all
pieces
the
of crap.
Boards, they used permanent marker on all the dry erase boards and wrote anti-Bush things, and they pried every keyboard in the White House. All the W's were either missing or defaced.
Yeah.
You know, it cost $13,000 to $14,000 just to fix the damage. And the Washington Times and the New York Times both reported it as harmless pranks.
That's not harmless pranks. That's no.
Not gonna cost me $13,000. It ain't.
No, I know, but those are the type of people that Democrats are. They are. They're vandals. They're I don't know.
It's all in good fun until it's our
not.
Point of view.
It's not.
No, it's all good and fun until it's our point of view.
True.
You know, all this tolerance crap doesn't apply to us.
No.
You know, all this forgiveness crap doesn't apply to us.
They're not tolerant either. I mean, because it's not that they're not tolerant of us. They spout all these inclusive comments about everything like this. But heck, they're really not tolerant of these other people because, you know, they make these horrible jokes. What happened on Saturday Night Live last week or the week before when Hillary was on? What was that? Something about making fun of black people or something?
No, that wasn't Saturday Night Live. That was a fundraiser.
Was it a fundraiser?
They made.
Oh, that's right. Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
De Blasio. Made a joke about colored people time.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm on CP time, and I'm sorry, coming from Metro Gotham, and you know, being around you know the minority community as long as I was, I know exactly what CP time means."
Yeah, I know.
You know, and I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe maybe Iowa doesn't know what that means, but I know what it means. CP time means colored people time. And the fellow who was from the cast of Hamilton, who's an African-American, said, "Hey, I don't appreciate jokes like that." And Hillary turns around and says, "Oh, concerned politician time." Oh, okay, that's different then. You know, in other words, it was an anti, you know, it was a slur.
Yeah, it was a slur.
And de Blasio thought, they didn't cut it from the script because de Blasio thought he could get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, he's in a mixed marriage, you know. So ergo, you know, he figures he's got the card, you know, he's got the official ghetto card that allows him to do things like that.
That's disgusting. I'm sorry.
It is. It's revolting. Where the hell is Sharpton?
I know Rangel said something.
Well, you know, Rangel
said something. Sharpton isn't going to say anything. Sharpton is too busy counting his donations.
Between Rangel, Menendez, and Sharpton, they owe more money than Willie Nelson ever owed. But
you
know what?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
you know, they threw him in prison.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, you look at it like this. You get these things that, and you say, okay, everything I agree with is a human right, and everything I disagree with should be banned.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your liberal mindset, right?
That is their mindset, yes. Yeah.
And I just want to, because I know we're getting close here.
Yeah, well, we went right over. We flew, as
yes,
in...
Yes, yeah, well, you know...
We missed the moon. We're on our way to Venus.
We did have a little bit of time laughing, which is always a good thing.
Yes.
I want to remind everybody that first and foremost, no matter who gets in, and I mean this, no matter who gets in, no president can walk in the door and de facto, by fiat, overturn Roe v. Wade.
That's true. You
no president can walk in and turn over Brown versus Board of Education.
Nope.
No president can walk in and overturn Dred Scott or Marbury.
That's right.
You know, just by waving a pen and a phone, you can't do these things. So when it comes right down, please, people, use your head, not your knee. Don't vote knee-jerk. Vote with your head. And that's for right. All you people that are going to stay home if Trump is the nominee, you're the problem.
Yeah, we didn't stay home when Romney was the nominee or McCain was the nominee or Dole. So guess what, people? It is your turn.
Or if you're going to stay home instead of going to vote because Cruz is the nominee, you know, every vote you don't cast is one half vote for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
That's right.
So if two of you don't go and vote, that's a vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as that's concerned, if that's the way, if you really believe that the Republican establishment, that the RINOs, that the GOPE have treated you that well for the last however many years that you've been voting, that you're going to cast a quote-unquote protest votes, you know, that's absolutely positively, you know, within your rights as an American citizen. Just don't tell me about it.
Exactly.
Because I'm not going to be happy with you.
Yep.
I'm not happy about the options we have, but doggone it, you couldn't nail my feet to the floor with 4-inch spikes and keep me from the election booth this November.
I agree.
It's not just a right, it's a responsibility.
That's right.
Life without filters.
That's
right. Life without filters.
Yep. Got to watch Lou on YouTube. That's the name of his.
You can get there. Thank you, Barry, by the way, for that bug or whatever that's called when you put it on the site. You can get there from Political QRM, which is where you're going to hear this. If you don't go there to hear this, you're not going to see the bug, but that's okay because you're not going to hear this, which is your fault, not ours. We do what we can.
Yeah.
We do what we can.
I know. But listen, I have to do this as
do
a final tribute to Prince. We are going to be playing a song, and I have picked my very favorite, Raspberry Beret.
All right. Well, in that case, then let me get to the point where I want to say thank you all for coming. How's that go? Set a spell. Kick shoes off. Wrong song. Thanks for coming by. Please like, share, subscribe, comment as you see fit. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless the United States of America.
put on the back of my bike and we went riding down by old man Johnson's farm. I said, now overcast days never turned me on. Something about the clouds and her mix. She wasn't too bright, but I could tell when she kissed me, she knew how to get a kiss. She wore a
Samson, speak! Good boy.